up. Los Angeles and beyond. This is Neighborhood Love Radio. We're the musical extension of neighborhood-love.com, a website devoted to street culture, music, food, fashion, etc. Tonight I got a couple really special guests. International artist, Jennifer Corison. Say hi.
Hello.
Hi. And equally international and dashing, Mr. Scepterhead. What's going on, dude?
Hey, man. How's it going?
Good, Sep. We're going to talk a little bit about... we're going to talk about street culture and art and creating art on a street level and concept, and probably talk about tacos and
all the good things.
Yeah. Thanks so much for coming down. Also, I got music, loved ones. I got music, brand new music from Monophonics. I got music from Black Milk, Bobby Womack, The Rebirth from Los Angeles, African Music Machine, all kinds of stuff. I'm going to start you off with... Holly Cook. I'm going to start you off with Holly Cook. The tune's Milk and Honey from the Holly Cook eponymously titled LP, Holly Cook. Had on Mr. Bongo Worldwide. It's produced by Prince Fatty. I'm going to follow that up with Stephanie McKay with Tell It Like It Is. And we'll take a couple twists after that. Thank you so much, loved ones. My name is Johnny Scott Gramercy, your host and selector. Neighborhood Love Radio. Yeah. We started off the set with Lack of Afro. Step up if you want to get heard. And then after that, Holly Cook, Milk and Honey is the name of that tune. Produced by Prince Fatty. After that, Stephanie McKay, Tell It Like It Is. Representing Brooklyn. Some Brooklyn neighborhood love from Stephanie McKay. That was produced by Portishead's Jeff Barrow. And you can find that on the Astral Works Later label. From Brooklyn all the way down to New Orleans, Louisiana. African Music Machine was the last tune you heard. Mr. Brown is the name of that tune from the Blackwater Gold record, 1972. Originally, I think that was originally a single, 1972, but Fuel Records put out a LP a little bit later on. So you can find their whole musical library on that one, African Music Machine. And that brings us right up to present time, right here, right now, you and me. And I'm also here with Scepterhead and Jennifer Corson.
Hello.
LA's art world power couple.
Yeah, it's turning into that.
let's start on a personal note. Where did you guys meet?
Right down the street.
Yeah,
we met on the street.
On Fifth Street.
Yeah,
Fifth and Main.
At an event.
No, man, you were setting up your show, right?
Yeah, I just closed up the gallery, hanging my solo show, and start talking to me.
Yeah, I was coming back from the gym, believe it or not, and I noticed that she was an artist, and I'd been watching the setup for a couple days, going back and forth, because I live right around the corner. And I wanted to know if she was a street artist. So I interrogated her there on the street, told her I would go to her show, which I did, but I only stayed for a little bit because that's just the way I am. Nothing personal.
She was scared.
I was scared, yeah. But, we started painting together, hanging out, talking every once in a while, going through like some mad drama of our own in each of our lives. And eventually she became a street artist. And things were pretty much green light from there on.
Mm-hmm. That's his qualification. Street artist.
Working on do you guys collaborate a lot?
We have. We're slowly figuring that out. I think everybody has a different set of skills. And to get them to work harmoniously together on a good level is, it takes a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Definitely.
We painted a huge wall together. The wall was insane. It was a nightmare. But we finished it and it looks cool.
Because what I notice about your mutual works are, and you can tell me if I'm off base in the creation, but it's still, it's what I observe. So, you know, that's how art works, you know what I mean? It's, you know, everyone comes part owner by looking at it.
Yeah.
There's anatomical themes to your work. Obviously, Jennifer's kind of known for the hearts, but there's other stuff too. I've seen teeth and, you know, weird things. And Scepterhead, I noticed that the lines, to me anyway, may not be what you're going for, but to me they kind of they look like sort of muscle fibers and things.
Yeah.
And the way they wrap around arms and first of all, there's always like arms or heads or something.
Yeah.
And so there seems to be a lot of ground for collaboration there.
Yeah, I mean, we just draw what we know. You know, I mean, I think a very popular topic, at least from my mind, is to try to, I think this has been said somewhere else before, but art is what feelings look like, if that's the thing. I think it is. But definitely with my work, and I think a lot of Jennifer's work, is the connotation of the physical world metaphorically in the visual world. So we're basically taking things that we feel and trying to make them become something that you can see. Put a label on it, says like, I feel sad. That looks sad, or that looks happy, you know?
I want to make sure to mention, we'll be talking a little bit more, but I want to make sure the loved ones out there know that if you want to see some of the work we're talking about, you can check out Scepterhead's work on his Instagram. Probably has the biggest body of work. Scepterhed. You can find him on Instagram and also the old Facebook machine. Jennifer Corson also has Instagram, Humans Make Art.
Correct.
Yeah, and also you can find our website, humansmakeart.com, and you'll see a picture of the lovely international artist, Miss Jennifer Corson.
And thigh highs.
I'll be mentioning those sites later on, but So we talked a little bit about how you guys met and stuff. I am curious about this. I don't want to harp on relationship stuff, but can you tell me that maybe your productivity, well, not productivity, but your work has changed since being in a relationship?
I know that mine has definitely, but I'm going to let Jennifer answer this question because I just did.
Well, our work habits are exact opposites.
Yeah, what makes it to the page or the wall?
I mean, for collaboration, it's really a time issue. We are both so busy with individual stuff that just having the time to sit down and put work into collaborating is really hard to find.
I mean, thematically.
Like, oh, yeah. I mean, and we, like, doodle together all the time and, like, work in the same space.
Whoa.
Come on. But, yeah, I think we push each other because we're complete opposites.
Whoa.
Yeah, I see what she's doing all the time, and I get really jealous. And I'm hoping it's mutual.
It is. But mutual jealousy is important.
Yeah. The character of my work has changed a lot from razor blades cutting their wrist with humans to like more pleasant, positive things. You know, there's a lot of sarcastic twists in there, but definitely it's changed on the positive for sure.
Hey, I want to play a band for you guys. We're going to come back and talk in a little bit. This is a band that getting some notoriety, man, but not enough, dude. They're from LA. They're called Rebirth. And they got a brand new record. Well, sort of newish. It was out a little bit earlier this year. The record's called Being Through the Eyes of a Child. I'm going to play a tune for you guys called Caterpillar. That's on the Walk Talkin' record label. And it's just a stellar LP. I mean, the whole thing. And I'm going to follow that up with the one and only Paul Weller. And little Rufus after that. I think it's a good vibe set. Yeah. Thank you so much, loved ones. And Scepterhead, Jennifer Corson, stick around. We're going to talk a little bit more later. Rufus featuring Chaka Khan. Sweet Thing is the name of that tune. That was what me and my lady did our first dance to at our wedding. Yeah. Before that, we heard the incredible, incomparable Paul Weller, Above the Clouds. And we started off the set with Caterpillar by the band Rebirth. The album is called Being Through the Eyes of a Child. That's on the Walk Talkin' record label. Rebirth is the name of the band. So I'm sitting here with Scepterhead and Jennifer. Hey.
Hey.
Hello.
Jennifer, we were sort of chit-chatting a little bit about how your work had changed maybe in the last 6 months or so. What do you got going on right now? Let's try this. Okay. What's currently coming out of you? Not necessarily subject matter, but as far as expression stuff.
I mean, I always have so many projects going on, and I'm always behind on...
I mean, thematically.
Thematically? I've been doing stuff other than anatomy. Actually, that's not true, but other than hearts. I painted a bus recently. I'm going to be finishing it Monday. It's pretty awesome. It's probably my favorite thing I've ever done, and it's
You did the
monster.
the whole bus?
Yeah, the whole bus.
Boot to bonnet?
Yep. And it was a ton of fun. It's at Imperial Art Studios, and this band, Lonely Parasite Traveling Circus, they're called.
Okay.
They're touring in it, and it's...
That's awesome.
It's really cool. It was really fun, and challenging, and no hearts.
Yeah. So did you have fun with it, as far as, going on a kind of a psychedelic sort of level with it?
I just turned the whole thing into a big monster.
Mm-hmm. That qualifies.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah. Psychedelic monster. The eyeballs and...
It's things. Offensive. It's got a little bit of a hot rod Daddy Roth vibe to it.
I gotcha. Okay.
Those eyeballs melting and the tongues wagging.
Von Dutch. And Okay.
It's got some movement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have a history... Do either one of you or both of you have a history of psychedelic drugs, psychotropic stuff?
Fuck yeah, dude.
I'm not going to comment on that.
35 times I've done acid. 12 times I did shroom.
Okay.
And you just happen to know.
I wrote down all the different kinds. It's been
a journalist.
I'm going to go ahead and guess it's been quite a while, though, right?
Yeah, I haven't done acid for at least 12 years.
Mm-hmm. Has any of that... I already know the answer. How much of that experience, though, makes it way into seeing things a certain way and thereby expressing yourself in a certain way? Both of you.
I think your brain, whatever state it's in, is constantly telling you, what to push and what to express and to try and stuff. I don't know. We were neighbors, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think drugs have their purpose, but as much as I'd like to think all the cool stuff I did when I was... tripping was cool. The reality is that it was not cool. Mm-hmm. I look at it now and it's terrible.
Right.
And the fact that I have a clear mind now and that I'm completely sober and I do weirder and way cooler shit, just lets me feel, it makes me feel like the brain already has all of that in there.
Yeah.
You just have to know.
I can't disagree with that. My own personal thing is I think, and it could have just, it might have happened anyway, it was, because that's how it works. It confuses your brain, colors versus
colors and see sounds.
So everything's amazing. Everything you output is the most genius thing you've ever done.
It's going to solve everybody's problems.
Mostly proud of everything you do.
but I did like what I did back in the day, as far as drawings and things like that. And it definitely influences what I do now. Any kind of visual arts, definitely. I can pretty much say wouldn't have been the same if I didn't take those certain steps back when I was younger.
Yeah,
it
takes what it takes. You know, I won't discount all of my interactions back then, but I do feel... I know as far as music is involved, making music, there's no comparison. Mm-hmm. And that's just as far as productivity and being able to focus on one thing.
What did you guys listen to back in those times, the psychedelic times?
Slayer.
Yeah?
American Rejects.
I listened to really terrible music. I was really into the Dead and stuff when I was in high school and a lot of classic rock and stuff. And then I got into that a lot of trance and stuff, yeah. And now I would like just really upset my brain.
You know, a lot of,
because
when
of
I
drugs.
Was sort of doing that stuff, I was mostly hanging out with like death rockers at the time. I never looked the part, you know, ever. But for a while there, those were my friends, you know,
yeah.
And so when it came time for like acid and other things like that, you know, all my friends were going off and listening to like Alien Sex Fiend, Skinny Puppy,
dude,
and all that.
Yeah, Skinny Puppy, Seasons in the Abyss on acid in a field.
But it wasn't for me.
I bought the Alien Sex Fiend tape because I liked the name and I thought it was cool.
I do like them. I still listen to them sometimes, but. Now, as far as like, want to trip out, dude, straight up 70s psychedelic soul. And I'm not saying that just because I do a soul and funk music program. Like, you close your eyes when you're tripping out and you listen to Sly or James Brown or something, and there's this whole weird chicken orchestra that goes on in your head. You know, and it made its way onto paper. And I actually did like the stuff that I did back then. Me and my buddy had this business where people would give us like $20 in their leather jacket, and we would paint the back of their leather jacket for them.
And, you're a good painter. I have one of your paintings. I have two of your paintings.
Oh, yeah. Cool, thank you. And it did make its way onto stuff like that. And actually, I kind of dig it. I wouldn't call it quality per se, but I liked it, if that makes sense. Yeah. But really, the question was more about like how... do you think, I don't know, man, I don't want to be all like, you know, if anything changed, the quality of your work would be different, but it's true. I mean, if the psychedelics weren't there, would your work still be the same, do you think?
Would be the same.
I think whatever happened made me who I am now. You know, there's no other course of action that could have been taken.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to think that there's been some changes as far as my artistic vision and like how I do things, but... having lived two lives, doing the drugs and then not doing the drugs, like, I've, you know, it's been an amazing trip.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful to be here, but I'll never forget some of those times or the music or, you know, any of the things that came out of it.
Well, we got about 2.5 minutes left. What can the loved ones be looking forward to as far as Jennifer Corson has set their head in the very near future? You guys are doing mostly public work right now, right?
Yeah, a lot of street art.
We're painting all weekend and...
we're collabing twice. Saturday over by the GABA Gallery off Beverly. And then Sunday, we're doing a meat market wall off 52nd and Avalon.
Meat market wall.
Yes.
Yeah. Vintage.
Very briefly, run me through that.
It's in between a severed bull, which I painted, and a Lady Guadalupe, which I have no idea who painted, but the wall's been getting hit. Not my stuff.
Okay.
Thank God. But she's going to go in there and paint some guts.
Some cow meat market stuff.
Guts. Yeah. If the neighborhood
probably
will allow
us,
never really know over there.
Yeah.
But, and then we don't know we're painting Saturday. We're going to fight about that tonight, probably.
Totally.
but I'm sure the loved ones can go back and see what's going on at that project and other projects if they go onto your mutual Instagram. So
almost every weekend we're painting somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Art.
Check out Instagram at Humans Make Art, right?
Yes.
And Instagram for Scepterhead, at Scepterhead, and I'll spell that out for you, loved ones, SEPTERHED. Also, they have their websites and stuff. If you Google their names.
Google me, bro.
Yeah. Google me, bro.
You guys hanging out for a little bit? You want to hear some more music?
Yes.
Let me see what I got coming up, queued up. Oh, Monophonics, Bay Area, soon to be Bay Area Legends. They put out a new record out yesterday called Sounds of Sinning. Sounds of Sinning. We're going to play Promises, one of the cuts off of that. It's out now. Check out Monophonics at monophonics.com. You can also find it on the old iTunes. They're playing pretty soon, Saturday, May 9th at the Mint. Monophonics, you're going to love them. After that, I'm going to play Brownout, some neighborhood love from Austin, Texas, from Brownout. They're an eight-piece band, Chaffa Khan, not Chaka, but Chaffa Khan, off of the, I'm going to try to pronounce this name, Amanahe, Jenny?
Is it supposed to be in Spanish?
Yeah, homage, Amanahe.
Yeah, that's as good as a guess as I have.
Thank you. That's out on Freestyle Records, and then I'm going to follow that up with Black Milk, one for Dam. We'll wrap it up with a classic chestnut from Mr. Bobby Womack. But first up, the one and only Monophonics from the Bay Area, Promises. Enjoy, loved ones.
Yeah, funky line ripper, Henny line sipper, mini rhyme flipper, 9 to 5 quitter. You the type out of sight, out of mind, nigga. I'm the type dynamite, got a dime with him, or a 9 with him. The rap stay nasty, your white girl stripper, white line sniffer. Every line in them give them suicide jitters. Flow turn real, spitters in the wrist splitters. From a city of real killers that don't see a lot of sunshine like Bill Withers. Old people live, but kids get killed quicker. Chance of seeing age 30 got real slimmer. The block still filled with the drug dealers, pimps, hoes, and wig splitters. A lot of real sinners. Old guard who go hard like old dog on film, a real menace. Yeah, I flood the street, crime dollars. Yeah.
Drugs. Yeah, yeah. Ray got the Girl Scout smoking. Right back rolling with the rap Joe Rogan. It's fat and black nigga, the Cadillac emblem. The crisscross Daddy Mac Nichols. Scrap niggas. Clap pistols and act ignorant. Conduct business to get riches like Gil Simpson. The Coalition. We in the kitchen with a quarter chicken. Water whipping. The whole track send snippets. Fat shipping. Niggas shoot like Blake Griffin. Eight rippets, pull strings like Jim Hendrix. Niggas went from Pope Pimpin' to Olympians and Weak Timblins to real gremlins. And the beat goes like a wolf in sheep's clothes. I peep little bows, we eat the streets whole. The beast mode, the chief's bellissimo, me bro.
In between Black Milk and Bobby Womack across 110th Street. Some of the most realest songwriting you're ever going to hear. I got one more thing I'd like to talk to you about.
sing it.
Across 110th Street. Before that, we hear Black Milk, One for Damn, featuring Fat Ray. That's from his Glitches in the Break album out last year. Prior to that, Brownout from Austin, Texas. Chaffa Khan was the name of that tune. That's from the... How do you say that name?
You did it way better than I would have.
Omenahe, yes. That's out on Freestyle Records. And we start off the set with the Cali's Own Monophonics from the album out now, Sounds of Sinning. You can find that on monophonics.com and also find that on the old iTunes there. They're playing Saturday, May 9th at the Mint, so I will see you there. I'm going to wear my shark skin suit.
I don't believe you.
How many sharks had to die for that?
You call me fat. Love doing. Oh, thank you so much, Jennifer Corson and Scepterhead. Find them on Instagram. Thanks so much for coming down and hanging out. I hope to have you guys out soon. And thank you so much, loved ones. I will see you next week.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Cheers. Bye, loved ones.